In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This Advent series will be focusing on three virtues that we especially need as we look forward to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Patience, courage, and joy. We'll be dealing with patience tonight, courage next Wednesday, and the next Wednesday, joy. But before we talk about the virtues themselves, we need first to talk about what we direct these virtues toward. Because it's one thing to be patient, and it's another thing to be patient for a good thing. The thief who waits patiently outside your house for you to leave and then robs you of your stuff, he may be patient, but he uses that patience for a bad end, to steal your stuff. And we have this sort of thing going on all the time in our day. People turn virtues, like patience, into vices by directing them to the wrong goal. So if your goal is to store up more and more and more money for yourself, or to have more and more and more power and influence over others, no matter how much patience you use or courage you use in getting to your goal, since your goal is bad, you've turned these virtues into vices. But if your goal is beautiful and your goal is good and it's holy in God's sight, then God will fire your virtues, your patience, your courage, your joy with his own spirit. The goal is everything. So this is the first thing that we need to stress above all and clear our minds this Advent season and instruct our souls to truly believe this, that Jesus Christ, seeing him face to face on that last and glorious day, being his and his him being ours now and forever, this is our great goal, the end to which we push all of our virtues. Be patient for the coming of the Lord, St. James says. You can have all sorts of other goals in the meantime, and you should. But they should all, in the end, feed into this one goal, that you and yours see Jesus Christ, your Savior, face to face, and are with him forever in his joy. So our patience, our waiting, and our suffering, this we direct toward this great goal. We are waiting for him. And whatever we suffer for him and for his church, looking forward to the fact that he will finally relieve us and all of his faithful of all suffering forever. Now, Job is the picture of Christian patience. St. James picks him out in particular as our example. God let the devil take from him his children and then all of his wealth. And when Job patiently bore that and did not blame God in the least, instead he said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Then God let the devil take his health and his comfort and inflicted painful boils on his skin so that Job was now not only poor, but he was sickly and he was pained and he was ugly. And his friends, when they came to him, told him he must have done something wrong to deserve all this from God's hand, that God was punishing him, so that Job is now not only poor and in pain and ugly, but he's lost his reputation too. And people mock him, and children spit in his face, and they tell lies to him and about him, and they say God is against him. Job denied this, that God was against him, with all of his heart. God was not punishing Job for something that Job had done. That's the tenor of most of what Job says in the book of Job. Even if Job had sinned, God would forgive it. That's what he says. "Have I sinned? What have I done to you, O watcher of men? Why have you set me as your target so that I am a burden to myself? Why then do you not pardon my transgression and take away my iniquity?" Those are the words of a Christian who's sure of the forgiveness of his sins. And Job bears the pain, the suffering, the lies, and the false teaching of his friends by talking about God and confessing his hope in him. That is the patience of Job. It isn't simply that Job suffered. Anyone can suffer. And it certainly isn't that he didn't complain. Most of the book of Job is Job complaining. It's rather that Job waits for God, gives his complaints to God, sticks to the truth of God's word, confesses it, and then applies it to himself as he suffers. He insists in the face of suffering and of people lying to his face that God does forgive him for Jesus' sake, and he does not punish those who trust in him. So Job's patience is found in those words that we so often quote and should have on our tongues too when we end up having to suffer. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. That's his great goal. Whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, how my heart yearns within me. What can we not bear, in other words? What can we not suffer when we know for certain with Job that we will see our Redeemer with our own eyes, and so will have an end to all sorrow and pain and doubt and questioning, that God is therefore, even now, no matter what pains us, with us and for us? Job teaches us that patience for the Christian consists of constant thought and talk about God. As you wait and deal with the pain, with the temptation, with the persecution, the grief, whatever it is, you assert that God is in control, that the God who sends pain also knows how best to end it, that God is not punishing you because of your sin, but as a father chastises his child, so your father disciplines you. And as a child may not understand it or like it, you don't understand it or like it, but you know that the God who took on your human flesh, the Son of the Father, who became your brother, your Redeemer, who suffered your hell and laid down his life for you, he lives. And he lives for you and loves you and forgives you. So you will not listen to the lies of enemies or even of friends that tell you to curse God or doubt God or disregard his promises. No, you will stand before him and see him face to face. And when that happens, all will be clear. This was the discussion Job had out loud as he suffered. It is a discussion we need to have every day. This is Christian patience, waiting and dealing with sin and with pain and with uncertainty and with the lies of the world by reading and speaking and talking and praying and even complaining God's word. And this is not a dismal picture of the Christian life. God gives both joys and sufferings in this life. The question is not whether you will suffer, but how you will deal with that suffering. Christian patience is that God-given habit of confronting our suffering and all the doubts and fears that come with it with the Word of God and the end goal of seeing our Lord Jesus face to face in his glory. The alternative is not no suffering. The alternative is rather to try to escape the pain or the dishonor by sinning or by denying your Lord. Like Solomon, who listened to his wife and left the Lord for idols so he didn't have to suffer his wife's nagging or her disapproval. Like the Lutheran boy who abandons the faith because he falls in love with a Mormon girl. Like David, who couldn't suffer a momentary fit of lust for another man's wife. Like the Christian today who won't suffer through his fits of lust and keep himself from the sin of self-defilement. Like Saul, who because of his fear of the Philistines couldn't suffer the discomfort of waiting for Samuel to sacrifice. The list is endless. We could add Moses to it, who in his wrath and his anger strikes the rock and so is not able to enter the promised land. These tried to deal with their suffering by sinning against their God, and all they ended up doing is replacing one suffering with a far worse one. Sometimes God shows us the reason and the goal and the fruit of our patience already in this life. We know we will see the fruit in heaven. but we also see glimpses of it here on earth. We can tell why God sent that cross or that cross into our lives. And this is the case throughout the Old Testament. With Job, who sees God come down in a whirlwind and vindicate him in front of his friends. With King David, who suffered and wandered and was persecuted by Saul for years before he finally reached the promised goal of becoming king. And it's also very obvious with Zechariah. Zechariah and Elizabeth suffered because of no fault of their own. God didn't give them a baby. God opens the womb, and God shuts the womb. They prayed for a baby, and God did not give it. Now, I have always thought it a bit unfair that the angel Gabriel gets angry with Zechariah and disciplines him by making him mute and unable to speak till his son is born. Because Zechariah asks the same question as Mary. How can this be? But Zechariah needed what he got. He needed to learn patience. God gave him a good thing by chastening him, and he gives us good things when he teaches us patience. It's no good suffering if all the suffering does is produce bitterness in us and resentment that we haven't gotten what we wanted. But suffering, when you know and trust in the good outcome that God will give because he's promised it, this produces patience. And Zechariah, for 9 months, held his mouth, couldn't speak, bore the discipline, knowing now that the promise of God was true, because there was a baby in his old wife's womb, and that he would see a son born to him, and more than this, that this son would prepare the way for the Lord, for the coming of God in the flesh. So that when Zechariah comes to the end of his time of patience, and he gets to the goal of seeing his child and naming him John, he has no complaint to make, but he has pure joy and confession of God's word. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people Israel and raised up a horn of salvation for us. Because this, again, is how Christian patience works. You assert against pain and doubt and temptation and lies, you assert that God loves you, that he knows what is best, that you cannot question his wisdom, that his promises are sure. You let God be true and every man a liar. And then your suffering produces patience, and patience character, and character hope, and hope does not put to shame, because you will see what God promised you, and the Spirit is given you as your guarantee. You will not only hear your forgiveness, but you will see it, not only trust in God's mercy, but see it finally in your Savior's face. That is the goal. It is the goal that makes patience what it is. The farmer, James says, waits for the harvest. It's the harvest, it's the fruit of all his labors that spurs him on to work hard and to suffer the heat and the labor of the days. The mother's goal of seeing her baby and holding that baby spurs her on to bear the pain of labor, and she is not disappointed when she sees it. We have the greatest goal imaginable set before us. We're going to see God. We're going to see our Savior, who has loved us so much, laid down his life for us and provided for us a home in heavenly bliss. And it is this goal that spurs us on to patient endurance of all challenges in this life, no matter what they are. It is this goal that makes our sufferings seem light. And more than this, our God gives us continual and constant foretaste of this goal and answers our patient faith even now with his words of truth, with the forgiveness of our sins, with the delight of eating and drinking the body and blood that has redeemed us from death and unites us to God now. So keep this goal always before you and run the race with endurance, with patience, and look forward to receiving the crown of glory that will not fade away. In the name of Jesus, amen.